here on Joy 99.7 FM. I'm Lexus Bill. I look forward to Thursday evenings because we get to spend time with amazing people doing wonderful things here for the motherland. And this evening, I have one very amazing guest for you. Now, all you need to do is to get a drink or something, kick your feet up in the couch or something, you know, get the family together and let them know that Personality Profile with Lexus Bill is on. If you're driving as well, yeah, of course, 99.7. If you want to check it out, the video online, we're live on Facebook as well. So you can actually tune in there and check us out. This evening, I spend time with a very young, dynamic professional who is well on his way to making history in the annals of our political landscape. I'll tell you a story. So some 16 years ago, a young man, well, thereabouts, he was rocking the stage at the Nescafe African Revelation. He was part of a very energetic musical trio called Echo. They won the competition, released some very good bangers, and became a sensation. Years earlier, he had the strong desire to be a professional footballer. I mean, if all had gone well, Ronaldo would be, you know, be given a run for his money. But he actually played for the Red Lions and Kumapim football teams in Asante Mampong. Now, many years later, this young man, one member of the group that performed amazing hit songs, is on the ticket of the Movement for Change as the running mate and vice presidential candidate for its flag bearer, Alan Chemating. Certainly, a lot has happened between then mounting that platform, the Nescafe African Revelation platform, and now. And that's what we seek to unravel this evening. He's a very astute broadcaster, a lawyer, corporate professional, political analyst. He's an entrepreneur, marketing communications professional, branding expert, with a wealth of experience and in-depth knowledge in business analysis, lead generation, real estate management, telecommunications, marketing, promotions and communications, entertainment and product development. After graduating from KNUST with a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology and Social Work, he joined the University of London, UK. He earned an LLB. He would later travel to Rwanda, where he attended the Institute of Legal Practice and Development in 2019, later University of Law, UK, before returning to Ghana to join the Ghana School of Law. He was called to the Ghanaian Bar in 2023. He has had a very colorful career in corporate as well, working for Airtel, in the media, joining Pan-African TV to build it from its inception. He's zealous about youth empowerment, actually. He pioneered the Kwame Inspires somewhere in 2016 to drive the need to inspire young people in second cycle schools and tertiary institutions. Currently, he's a general manager, corporate affairs and legal at Trasaco Group and the convener of Forum for Accountable Governance. Well, just to remind you of his very vibrant musical exploits, this is my guest on Joy FM.
Yeah. Yo, Richie.
You know the name, right?
Are you ready, ladies?
Echo.
All right, so there you go. You do know the song from Echo. Yeah. It's called Golo Golo. My guest tonight is Elijah Kwame Owusu-Danso, the vice presidential nominee for the Movement of Change. Echo.
Yo, Lexus Bill.
My brother, how are you doing?
My roomie.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
You had to.
It reminded you of something. I mentioned my roomie.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I mean, we But before we even delve there, there's a name that I need to mention for people.
Yes.
That they probably haven't heard in a while.
Yeah.
And you yourself, I doubt you've heard this name. How are you doing, Nkenteng?
Okay. You got me there. Now, you are digging deep into the archives.
I needed to, man.
But
from Nkenteng to Echo.
Yeah.
And for
most people who are perhaps are not aware, you are the one who created the name Echo.
Absolutely.
Lexus was the one who created the name Echo.
Yes.
There's this something that will sound, you know, very verbose.
Yeah.
Something like Echo. you know?
Yeah. And not in Kenteng. And that name is written in the history of Ghana's creative industry.
Yes.
And I'm proud of you. And it's congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Thank you, Alexis.
How are you feeling now?
Ah, it's exhilarating for me. So maybe a mixed bag of feelings, you know. Mm. It's been quite a journey, to be honest.
Yeah.
And although, you know, I knew that someday it was going to come, I didn't think it was going to be this quick.
This early.
And so, you know, I had to think about it, rethink about it, have discussions with people, some godfathers, you know. I just wanted to understand what it meant, you know, for a colossus like Alan Kojo Chemantin to discover you and to want to give you the opportunity to represent a larger section of the country, in my estimation, which sector section have been marginalized, which is the youth. And so it didn't come to me as a surprise because, I knew that was going to happen. But also, I was basking in that exhilaration, you know, that at least somebody has acknowledged the work that we put in over the period, and the person is giving us an opportunity to represent the youth of this country.
So, how did you get the news?
Quite interestingly. So, the Honorable Alan Kojo Chemantin has a program he calls Alan Speaks.
Right.
Now, the idea of that is to explain his policies to the good people of Ghana. Now, the policies are in three parts. One, the normal policy outlook.
Mm.
And then two, the implementation of it. And then three, the how. So, originally, it was supposed to be hosted by somebody else. I didn't even know who was going to host the program on Pan-African Television for him. And apparently, the person who was supposed to host it was not feeling well. Mm. So, they reached out to me around 3 a.m.
Okay.
And they sent the...
Hey, Honorable Alan Kojo Chemantin.
No, I mean, our mutual friend, Dr. Educhum.
Right, okay.
Reached out to me around 3 a.m., sent me the synopsis. And then, you know, so I had to go through the policy, try to understand it, research around it. And then we needed to record at 10 a.m. And by 7, I was there. You know, so when he came and we did the first one, I think he liked it because I asked him the very pertinent, burning questions.
Right.
And he answered all those questions to my satisfaction. Subsequent to that, like I told you, I was supposed to just do it for once. You know, one time only. Subsequent to that, he said, no, let's do another one. So we did the second one, and then the third, and then the fourth. So I think about last week, thereabout, then, you know, we're supposed to record around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. So I went to the studio. I read the subject matter, and then we started recording. So in the middle of the recording, I took a break, as we normally do. And then he said, oh, remind me to tell you something after the program. As typical of journalists, especially when you are doing your work, you know that you're going to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that, oh, maybe today he wants to, you know, pay the boy.
Show love.
And then he says, Kwame. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you know you are my running mate? Then I started laughing. You know, I had chills because I did not understand.
That's how you put it.
But yeah, he said, do you know you are my running mate?
Oh, wow.
I said, Your Excellency, what are you saying? You know, then he said, tell your wife about it. I said, this man is serious. So I ran away because, you see, some of these conversations, I try to shy away from them. So I left to my office at Pan-African Television. I was hiding in the office. And then he sent for me. I came out and said, oh, tell your wife. I said, Your Excellency, okay, wait, I'll tell her myself. So my wife was having a meeting with the news team. And then he goes into the newsroom and then says, your husband will tell you something. You know, and then he left. And then that was it. So, you know, I was still shocked. And so I was in my wife's office after her meeting with the team. And then, you know, we were just having a normal conversation around. And then he called. He says, Kwame, send me your details. I said, the man is serious. So I said, okay. I sent it to him. And I called a few people. I told them about the new development, and I told them that I needed their advice on it. They expressed a lot of confidence in me because they've been following me, you know, and my activities for a long time.
Right.
And therefore they said, I mean, ultimately it's your decision, but if you are so passionate about youth development and you don't want to just simply sit on TV and lament, but you want to move your lamentations to action, then I think this is the right time for you.
So hold up. So, this is a question that leaves no room for you to even say, I decline.
You know?
He literally asked you, do you know you are my running mate?
Yes. You know, sometimes, like this, when you are driving and a little voice tells you to use a particular route and you refuse to use that particular route, you may get into trouble. So sometimes there's that little voice in our heads that always tells us something. But oftentimes we ignore it, thinking it's one of those thoughts.
Yeah.
But I think this is the unction of God. I mean, it's not luck, it's just divine.
Yeah.
You know, but it is also predicated on my determination and my hard work and my preparation. The fact of me consistently without fail going to second cycle institutions, speaking to the younger generation and inspiring them, giving them hope and encouraging them to partake actively in our political experiment is one that I think was preparing the stage for me to now lead that conversation as a young man in partnering with His Excellency Alan Kwadwo Chiamantin.
You know, as far as political ideologies go, I mean, and this development you're sharing with me is just weeks old.
Absolutely.
It's just like a couple of weeks ago, right? Now, as far as political ideologies go, I'm sure you had your own leanings even before Honorable Alan Chiamantin came into the picture.
Yeah.
So how did this particular question and this particular development change all of that for you?
Yeah. I think ideologies are born out of principles. And there's a saying that principles are either wholly kept or wholly abandoned. But you must be careful not to be imprisoned by those ideologies, because societies evolve. There's a dialectical movement of things. And so if we have that understanding that societies evolve and it's dialectical, and you know, as it evolves, you begin to appreciate some other aspects of principles and ideologies that you've perhaps not averted your mind to by reason of that that imprisonment that you have relative to your ideologies. And someone opens that door to you and gives you a reason to look beyond the periphery of your ideology, I think that you must explore that.
I see.
Now, and I'll explain further. My inclination, and perhaps the reason why I immediately accepted this, is because of the conversation about Ghana. Ultimately, it comes to Ghana. Ultimately, the conversation is about building a united Ghana for Ghanaians. Ultimately, the decision to join His Excellency Alan Kwadwo Chiamantin is born out of that desire to see a new Ghana. A Ghana that will give opportunities to the have-nots. A Ghana that will consider, you know, the plight of the young person who is living in Achimasafo, for instance. A Ghana that will consider the plight of the young man living in Bole Bamboi, for instance, or Bimbila or Asantemampong, for instance. A Ghana that will not discriminate. A Ghana that will create an enabling environment for young businesses to thrive. And so if we are having that conversation about the development of Ghana, then in my estimation, it's a conversation that I want to be part of. I don't want to be passive about it. I want to be an active player in that conversation. Because ultimately, if Ghana is better, it's better for all of us. And I also do believe, respectfully, that as young people of this nation, we must not reduce our plight to commentaries only on social media. We must take active steps in ensuring that that which we desire is brought to the fore for conversations to be had. And so we have a lot of responsibilities on our shoulders to ensure that the right things are done, right decisions are taken, and right policies are put in place for the purposes of bringing about the change that we need. Now, it may interest you to know, Lexis, that if you look at the population of Ghana, and judging from the records that we have, particularly in the 2016 elections, you will notice that a lot of the people who voted for Nana Addankwa Akufo-Addo were within the youth bracket. So it meant that they wanted to see some change. So what it means is that
The young people have an important role to play. We are key stakeholders in determining who leads us. Now, the question then becomes, if we are key stakeholders in determining who becomes the next president, then why is it that we don't have a seat at the table? We've created a table. We've given the leadership or the head of that table to political elites. But when it comes to conversations about things that affects us directly, we are not invited to the table. I think that that narrative ought to change.
Mm.
And that is precisely why when the conversation started about me joining His Excellency, I listened to him and said, I'm building a government of national unity, a government which will not factor into its governance process where your political leanings are. Which ideological leanings do you have? Which religion do you belong to? Which ethnic background do you belong to? Those conversations, in my estimation, are not relevant today in terms of determining the future of the youth of this country.
Right.
Yeah.
What did your wife think of it when you told her? Or when when eventually you had to tell her about it?
Quite interestingly, we were left with very little choice in even determining whether or not we wanted to accept the offer. But you see, my wife has been, and I was, and every time I get up when you talk about my wife, I get emotional, because she's a woman who understands me and my vision. And so I remember at the time when I met her, Lexis, you know this story, I had absolutely nothing, zero, from ground zero, zero, nothing. But this woman looked beyond the material things and said, I want to help you. Now, she paid my first year school fees at University of London. She paid for it.
Mm.
Until later my father continued. But she paid for it. She, I think, was the one who planted the seed of greatness in my life. And for somebody to begin to actually look beyond your current circumstances to say that I want to invest in your future, that person can only be described as an angel, perhaps, you know. So my wife is a special breed. She's a special human being. Now, she's been very supportive. But also, she's very principled. She has her own principles about women empowerment, about ensuring that, you know, the voices of women are heard.
And she puts that at the Obasima Summit.
Yeah, she does the Obasima Summit, the annual women's conference. You know, so on this occasion, well, it's my decision ultimately.
Yeah.
Even though, yes, there's the rippling effects are there.
Well,
but she supports my decision.
If all goes well, by 8th of January, absolutely, she will be second lady of the country.
Absolutely. So absolutely.
It's a very important decision.
Absolutely. And by the way, it appears that this is a contest between Infantiman girls. You know, Samira, His Excellency Samira is from Infantiman. You know, my wife is also an Infantiman lady. You know, so, but again, I just want to reiterate the fact that my wife supports my dreams. In fact, she is the engineer behind those dreams.
Okay.
And so if today those dreams are being materialized, then I think that all credit goes to her.
Good stuff. Now, what kind of feedback since the announcement? This is, well, barely a week ago, right? But what kind of feedback have you been getting since the announcement?
Golo golo feedback. You know, politics is a very interesting enterprise. And oftentimes, I question myself why people behave the way they do and people think the way they think. And why oftentimes we don't move the conversations beyond pettiness, but we move it into the arena of building a society. Okay? So, I mean, I'm announced. And the very first reaction that I see on social media is Alan Chemantin nominates Golo Golo Hitmaker as VP. And then I don't know whether, and for sometimes it's political because they want to elicit some kind of conversation, you know, just to water down the relevance and the impact of my announcement. Now, surprisingly, I read the comments, you know, and a lot of them were very positive comments. A lot of them emanated from people who have followed my journey. people who have seen me struggle, people that I slept with in studios. I mean, they slept by my side in studios, recording studios. People that I walked to studios with from Site 17 in Tema.
Mm.
People that I played football with in Asante Mampong. So there were positive comments, but very little negative comments. But it's all well and good.
Mm.
Because it tells you that even as a human being, you would have people who would appreciate the work that you are doing, and you would have people who will, without any justification, criticize him. But in all of this, what is important is that the lessons that you draw from these comments, so that you can channel those negatives into positives. Because we are all human beings. And, you know, when somebody gives you an objective criticism, it's better. It enhances your growth.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out where the negative comments stem from. Or
trying to ridicule the music and trying to belittle the relevance of my nomination to say that Ghana is a cartoon station in heaven. This is the joke.
Inferring that because you're probably a musician.
Yeah, because I did Golo Golo.
Okay.
And, you know, all of that. You know, but they forgot that at the time I was, you know, music speaks to the heart and the soul, and music has a way of lifting you from your lowest moment to your highest moment. And sometimes people have oftentimes wanted to even, you know, commit suicide and all of that, but sometimes they hear some songs and then they refrain from doing that. But I mean, that was really not a negative for me, because it was a positive in disguise. Now, once they put that narrative out, the commentaries and the things actually also propelled the story.
Yeah.
And by the grace of God, now everybody got to know. And I remember, because at the time there was no YouTube, now the video had about 100 or something views. The last time I went and I checked, it had over 12,000 views.
Right.
That meant that people were curious about who I was. They were digging and trying to find out exactly.
I'm really surprised that, I mean, anybody would infer any sort of negativity from the fact that you were a musician. Yeah. Because for me, from where I sit, if anything, it actually shows of a very inclusive society.
Absolutely.
And also not, and also to say that politics is not for a certain reserved kind of people or a reserved few or what you call a political elite or whatever it is. I mean, nation building is for everybody, whether you're a musician, whether you are a radio presenter, whether you're a driver, whatever it is you
are.
So I'm surprised.
I would not force them too much. But before I even speak to that, let me just say a big thank you to the creative arts industry, you know, the broadcast journalists, some musicians and all of that, who came to my defense immediately. And for me, that was a very important part of this journey, that you have your colleagues jump to your defense, you know, to say that, listen, you don't know this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and we are supporting him fully, 100%. So I want to thank the creative arts, you know, industry for supporting me. But I just wanted to make a quick point that I do not fault those people who came out to attack me. You know, unfortunately, some people do not really investigate too much, you know, and they just take everything hook, line, and sinker. Some people may not even read the caption, you know, but because perhaps you are not aligned to their political party, you know, the first reaction is
to just ridicule
it.
Anyway,
and so I don't fault them too much, but I just want them to move beyond the partisanship and take on a cloth of inclusivity. And I appreciate the fact that this is actually a candidate, you know, or a ticket that could possibly rescue this country.
Was this the intended goal of your political activism, you know, to occupy a public space or whatever it is? And when did you start harnessing the idea for politics? And I ask this because you have been in, like, different industries. We're just talking about the creative arts. You've been in sports. You've been in law. You've been in corporate and all of that. Like, you've literally moved around. So where did politics, you know, come in here?
You know, when I first met my wife, she asked me a very simple question, because I was still a musician at the time. She said, what do you want to do? Then I said, I wanted to read law. She said, then let's read law. Now, everything I've become is as a result of the guidance of my wife. Now, even when I met her, she had to go through my Facebook to see the kind of pictures that I post. And she tell me, oh no, this picture, next time, do it this way, post it this way, this one, do it this way. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's an angel. Maybe God sent her my way to help shape me for today, right? Now, let me also seize this opportunity to say a big thank you to Baba Sadiq. People don't know. He was at the time the producer of Viasat One's morning show.
Abdullahi Sadiq.
Sadiq.
Okaikwe.
Okaikwe, yes. We always call him Baba Sadiq.
Yeah,
yes.
Baba Sadiq.
I'm so super
doing grateful, music.
Super, super grateful to Baba Sadiq. Because Baba Sadiq gave me an opportunity on Viasat One morning show. So I actually appeared on it as a pundit.
Okay.
So I was debating the likes of the guy they call Abuapapu. I've forgotten his name. You know, the Ghana guy's, what's his name? The Ghana guy's guy, the PR.
Yeah.
You know, so we're always on Viasat One, et cetera, et cetera. And also Sammy Flex. Because Sammy Flex also had a program on one of the radio stations. I've forgotten the name. And he was also inviting me on there. And then Nanayao18.com. So those were...
Nanayao.
Yeah, Nanayao18.com. Yeah. So Nanayao18.com, after we met, told me that, Kwame, you are destined for greatness. I mean, it is so palpable that you can't even hide it.
Yeah.
I said, oh, really? You know, at the time. Then I got the opportunity to go on Capital TV to host their morning show.
Okay.
Kudos to Chairman Benjamin, you know, at the time he owned Capital TV. And I started from there, Alexis.
Mm.
And then I finished my law. So I think that it is all of these things that perhaps, you know, opened my mind to the realities that we are confronted with. And, you know, sometimes when you are outside, you are not able to see what is within.
Right.
To be able to create policies that will, you know, deal with those problems.
Okay.
And I will say that most of the leaders that we've had over the period, you know, sit in ivory towers and they're looking down on us and telling us what to do, because they don't actually appreciate the problem. But I've been there. I've been with the people. And I think that that is how my interest began, and that is why I decided to
good stuff.
Get into it.
If you're just joining us, this is Personality Profile here on Joy FM with Lexus Bill. And this evening, I'm spending time with the vice presidential nominee for the Movement of Change, Kwame Owusu-Danso. If you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp on 055-1111-997, and I'd love to read them. Okay, so now, I don't know, what was there a profession that you wanted to be when you were much younger?
Law.
Oh, really? It had always been the plan?
Law. Yes.
I see.
Even when I was in Achima Safu.
That's where you grew up?
I grew up in Asantimampo.
Okay. Wait, hold up.
Okay.
Where are you from? Let's start from there. Where are you from?
It's a question that usually I try to move away from, because I see myself as a Ghanaian, more, you know, as a Ghanaian.
Okay, yeah, done with the diplomatic part. Where are you from?
No, on a more serious note, let me make this point to you and explain to you how I'm saying this. I grew up in Asantimampo, you know, and then we were transferred to Achima Safu. So that's Eastern Region.
Okay. Where are your parents from?
Okay. So my mom is from Elmina. My dad is from Doti Region.
Doti Region?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
So Asantimampo to
Achima Safu.
Okay. That's then, where you grew up.
I grew up in Achima Safu. Achima Safu is in Eastern Region, close to Apeja, Okroso, you know, Achimamina and all those places. That's where I attended my senior high school.
Which school is that?
Achima Safu. At the time, it was Achima Safu St. Paul's Community Secondary School.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I see.
And I think we had a population of over, let's say, maybe 200 to 300 people. Mm. You know, yeah. And at the time, we only had about two people who had gone to the university.
Oh, wow.
So my role model and mentor at the time, and still, Elvis Asase. We always call him Elvis Asase.
Mm-hmm.
And then another gentleman, I've forgotten his name, but Elvis, because Elvis, I looked up to him, you know, because he was very intelligent and is still very intelligent. And he's the one who gave me that motivation that even though you are in Achima Safu, it is possible to pass your exams.
So you actually are the third person from Achima Safu to go to university.
So my year group, we had a lot of people now.
Okay, you know, now going.
Breaking that, that glass ceiling. And so myself, Harold Atabwaje, and a few others, were able to. So myself and Harold went to KNUST, and then some other students went.
What were your parents into?
My father was a police officer.
Okay.
My mom was a trader.
I see. So very humble beginnings.
Extremely humble. My father retired at the rank of chief inspector. I can confidently say that he was extremely dedicated to service. He was extremely dedicated to serving the good people of this country. He was extremely dedicated and very passionate about Ghana. and, you know, performing his functions as a police officer to restore or maintain peace and order, you know, at the time. Because he was, you know, he used to tell me that, look, we joined the police force not because we didn't have an opportunity to do other things. We joined it because we loved it and because we wanted to serve our country. So I'm the son of all the police officers we have in Ghana.
Ah, right.
I'm also the son of the son of all the market women we have in Ghana.
I see.
Because my mother was also a trader.
Okay, so from Achima Safo, you're now in the university, KNUST.
KNUST, yeah.
Where I happened to meet you?
Yes.
In the social science
department. Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people don't know Lexis Bill. I mean, look, no, for real. And this is not in a negative way. Lexis has groomed a lot of people in the media space. You know, so today I'm going to give you your flowers. So I met Lexis. I met you.
I'm supposed to be interviewing.
Yeah, no, I met you in second year, first semester.
Yes, yes.
And I was struggling because at the time, you know, it was in, out.
Yeah. In the first
year. I'm telling you, I was really struggling. And I saw that, you know, there's this young man, very intelligent, but also loves radio and was emceeing on campus. And I said, I like this guy. I mean, I like his, you know. So I approached you, remember?
Yes.
I came to you, I said, I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
And you were surprised. And I go, where are
they? Yeah, I remember.
You know,
that.
But I became your friend. And you housed me. Woman, baby, tonight.
Right.
You didn't, how do I even describe it? You didn't neglect me in my time of need. You were there for me, even though you knew very little about me. You know, so you took me to Einstein Estate, your hostel. We stayed in one room.
Yeah.
But I slept on your bed. We studied together. I remember our last paper. Do you remember sociology?
I
got psychology, actually. We studied together. We literally did everything together. So on campus, if you saw Lexis, you would see me. If you saw me, you would see Lexis.
You know, I was going to ask how you literally got into the media.
Through you! No, but it's through you now. I mean, this one, there's no gainsaying the fact that, you know. I was following you to
Focus FM.
Focus FM. And, Baba Bro. I mean, Focus FM, where Lexis literally lived in the studio. Like, this guy lived in the studio from morning, afternoon, evening. So he was sometimes hosting the morning show. Then he would be hosting the mid-morning. Then he was so the only person whose voice you would hear on Focus FM is Lexis Bill. Look, and this goes to your... I mean, I'm saying this to mean that it doesn't take, you know... It's not like a silver spoon. You know, you have to really work hard to achieve your goals and your dreams. You have been very determined, just as I have been. You have been very forward-thinking and forward-looking, just as I have been. And perhaps it's because we work together. So we pick a thing or two from each other. Of course.
Absolutely.
There have been some stumblings and things like that. But in all of that, it does not negate the fact that you, Lexis, are perhaps one of the very few people whose influence and impact on my life cannot be discounted.
Right.
And it is important that on this occasion, as I sit here, I give you your praise. And
thank
I told you the last time we met, but let me reiterate for emphasis that I am who I am today because of the very important role you played in my life.
I'm glad.
Guiding me and guarding me on campus, exposing me to Focus FM, you know, giving me the confidence. You remember, the first time I had the MC job at Report. You remember?
Yes,
I discussed with you. He said, Jale, just do them, you know, have confidence. In fact, Lexis will get like 2 gigs on campus. He would call me and say, Kwame, at the time, Elijah.
Yeah.
You know, you go and do this one. Let me also go and do this one. That's how close we were.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, free-spirited you are.
Okay.
And for that, thank you very much.
We thank God. We thank God. It's God who actually charted this path. So God bless you as
thank
well.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to know that, I mean, somebody as hardworking as you has gotten into the heights that you've gotten to. And I'm not surprised, absolutely, because I know how hardworking you were. Back on campus, actually, that is where the echo, the music actually started.
Yeah.
And in fact, a lot of people might know you from the Nescafe African Revelation.
Yes.
But you actually did audition for Stars of the Future as well. Remember Stars of the Future back in the day, right?
You see?
And I was telling you that I was going to surprise you.
If I tell you, Lexis knows me more than myself.
I'm going to tell you the song you went to audition with at Stars of the Future. I think that time in Kumasi, when the team came, the audition was happening at Micklin Hotel. And I remember how we had conversations before you went and all, and you went to sing this song. And this is a song that you went to sing there. But eventually you'd team up with your friends Charles.
But how did I perform, by the way?
This particular song. They didn't take you. I mean, they were like, my guy, which kind of Mario
but
is
I
this?
Also remember your song.
Asante.
I remember your song Mario. You used to dance to.
Calm down.
Do you remember this song?
Asamba Nyabutre.
Chris Brown song. I need a boo. Do you remember? Yeah, that was like this.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. Don't let me take a commercial break. But anyway, yes. I mean, you were a musician for a little bit. You were in a group with two other people.
Yes.
Are you in touch with them? Where are they?
Yeah. So, I'm in touch with Echo Charles.
Charles.
As a matter of fact, 2 days ago, we had a little chit-chat.
Oh, okay.
And he's as excited as I am.
Yeah, your group member.
Yes, Echo Charles. To be fair, Festival, Afashe, you remember him?
Yes.
That's the guy.
Very tall.
Because we didn't continue with Nkenteng, I think somehow we fell out.
You fell out,
and
okay.
So I don't really know where he is.
Yeah.
But I'd love that if, for instance, perhaps he's listening, he can reach out to me.
Yeah.
And then, we can engage. But as for Echo Charles, he even celebrated his birthday in my house.
Wow. Uh-huh. That's
so
beautiful.
We are that close. Yeah.
So why didn't you continue the music thing? It wasn't good. It wasn't lucrative.
This is a brilliant question, Lexis. And it is precisely why I think that, we need to have some policy specific to the creative art industry. And I say this because at the time when we released Golo Golo, it was a banging song, Lexis. You remember? Channel
yeah.
O.
Yeah.
You remember?
I remember.
We're the only Ghanaian artists who had their songs on Channel O.
Yeah.
The Countdown. We were number one for 2 weeks. We were nominated for Best Afro Pop Group. So it was a very huge song. But the question is, did we generate enough from it? No.
You didn't.
We didn't. And I was a graduate, I needed to survive. So many things were happening, to be honest. Yeah. And, I thought that music was my saving grace. But the kind of, accompaniment that I should have gotten from the music industry, I didn't, and that is why perhaps I had to look elsewhere. But my passion for music still remain, and clearly something ought to happen in that space. I think that we must revolutionize the music industry so that the young people who have that desire to create music would have the confidence of doing so, in the hope that will put food on their table.
Okay.
And for me, that is why perhaps I had to look. If perhaps I was getting something from it that was more sustainable, I may have still done music.
Well, anyway, now you have the very arduous task. Of course, after music, you went to study law, you've worked at Airtel, you've worked in so many other places, including Trasaco Group, where you are currently the general manager, corporate affairs and legal.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Now, you have the arduous task of making sure that Honorable Alan Kojocho Mateng and the Movement for Change come into power in 2025. How daunting is this task?
Yeah.
And really, how optimistic are the chances of the Movement for Change in the quest for political power?
In a country where it appears we have bought into what I describe as the existential political crisis of the duopoly for over 32 years. It is quite understandable that you would have people who would have rigid mental sets about, wanting to experiment with any other political party. And so they are very comfortable in their space to say that,
I'm MPP, so let me just be there. I'm NDC, so let me just be there. In the final analysis, this one has 4 years. In the worst case scenario, 8 years, they will go, another political party will come, etc. So it's, you know, it's a cycle of political, in my estimation, disgrace. You know, where you've had all these leaders who have emerged, but who have performed very little. In dealing with, you know, the existential issues that we have. And I keep telling people that the problems that we have in Ghana are not really difficult matters, bread and butter issues, to be honest. Look at the issue of, for instance, rent, Lexis. I live in, you know where I live. And for a single room, Lexis, single, if you don't have 1,800 Ghana cedis a month, you will not get a place to live in Ashoman Estate. For two bedrooms, that one, you know. But think about this. There are so many people who are fresh graduates. And through no fault of theirs, by reason of the existence of National Service Scheme, they must be posted to some regions. So this person maybe is from maybe Tamale and gets that brilliant opportunity to come to Accra, to come and work in any company. This person has not even received his fair salary. And yet somehow, we are asking that person to pay 1,800 Ghana cedis for accommodation in Accra.
The salary is probably even less than the accommodation that these.
So that is a problem.
Yeah.
Now, look at the cost of food in this country. It's so expensive, you know, now to even eat kinki, my favorite food. It's now expensive to eat eba. Because right now, the price of everything has gone up. But in my view, it is as a result of failed leadership. And it is as a result of the acceptance of the duopolistic political architecture. And that is why we've not really seen any real change. Now, it is important that after acknowledging the fact that we've not seen real change, that we look beyond, you know, the duopoly, and see whether or not we, the Ghanaian people, can engineer for an emergence of a third political party that can effectively bring the change that we are looking for.
Okay.
And that is Alan Kodjo Shemante. And I'll explain why in a second, respectfully. This is a man with principles. This is a man who said that, yes, even though I was part of a political party, the reason why I joined that political party is because I believed at the time in the ideology. In fact, I helped create that ideology. But it's gotten to a point where that ideology has been relegated to the background. And people have created their own ideologies, which they are using to govern the party. Mm. And on the basis of that, I cannot stay in that party. Let me move out and create another Ghanaian ideology. Perhaps that's what we need.
Mm.
And so, for somebody who has achieved it all, he could have just retired and gone to sleep. But he's saying that I need to make sure that the young people in this country are given equal opportunity so that they can take decisions for the benefit of themselves and their children, because they are young and they are in this situation.
Okay.
And that is why, you know, I think that His Excellency Alan Kodjo Shemante, without more, has a greater opportunity to win this year's elections. And, and people say, we are winning these elections because Ghanaians are fed up.
All right. Many, many years ago, in the kingdom of Umofia, there was once a mate who said he couldn't do much because he was only a mate. You are coming in as a vice presidential nominee. Kwame Uzudanso, would it be the same for you?
Okay, so we are not making promises that are not practical. We are not making promises that are not achievable. We are not making promises that are not sustainable. We would not come and tell you that we will give you $1 million in every constituency just so we get your vote. We are telling you the reality. We are telling you what you need to know. In fact, things that you yourself, you know. But beyond telling you what you already know. It's also providing a solution that we think is achievable and sustainable. And that is precisely what we have done. Now, take a cursory look, you know, at His Excellency Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia. He was the one who is on record to have indicated that, you know, he had the economic want or the magical want, you know, to address all the teething problems we're facing in respect of the economy. He is on record to have said that. Now, we are not importing anything from the skies. We are judging him with the same metric he used in judging other political parties when they were in opposition. You remember that Mr. Atta of blessed memory was asked 170 questions. Those questions are the questions that we are now asking Dr. Bawumia to answer, to provide answers. We are not asking for any extraordinary thing. Answer your own questions. So it tells you the political football that they are all playing. This one will say this, this one will say that, you know, at the expense of the very basic things that the Ghanaian people need. And we cannot do that. We are not going to promise that now, but we are telling you what is already there. For instance, if I'm talking about rent, we know that Section 25(2) of the Rent Act, you know, stipulates some things that ought to be done, which things have not been executed. And we are saying that we are going to ensure the enforcement of the law in respect of that. And once we do that, we will be able to address fundamentally the rent issues that we have in this country.
There are so many messages that I wish I could read all of them. Yes. This particular one I want to read. Don Mickey in Adrengano says, Alexis, ask him what was the response from his father-in-law, the almighty Kwesi Pratt, when he came up. Did you speak to him?
I did, yeah.
And what did he say?
He said, it's my decision.
Yeah.
It's my decision.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And... Abeku, please go down. Let me read some of the messages here. Hey, good evening, Lexis. This is Alfred. Kudos to Gomele.
He was
a class rep way back in KNUS in sociology and geography.
Oh, that's actually very true. I didn't add it to my CV.
It was obvious his leadership quality started there. I'm happy for my bro. We're all supporting him. That's from Alfredo. Alfred, thank you so much for your message as well. I wish we could actually go on and on. Lots of messages coming through as well. And, Alexis, I parked to send this message. Mm-hmm. Oops, I think I lost that. Yeah, I parked to send this message. He said his mother's from Elmina and his dad was from Oti region. Which town in Oti region? Tami in Abokubi wants to know.
Okay, so I am from Akabuem.
Oh, okay.
Akabuem. A-K-A-A-B-U-E-M. Yeah. Akabuem. My uncle is the chief of Kuji.
Okay.
Nana Oprao. So I'm an indigenous. I'll go home. In fact, next week Tuesday, I'm going back home.
That's good. So, good evening, Alexis, and hello to VIP candidate to Chief Alan Chemating, KOD Esquire. My message to him is to keep the fire burning. It's in getting our dear country to the highest pinnacle of responsible and accountable governance. Alfred Mensah Onuma. Thank you so much, Alfred. Look, I'm proud of you. I need to say congratulations to you once again.
Thank you, Alex.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
It's my prayer that all the things that you dream in you would be able to realize them.
I would like to seize this opportunity to say thank you immensely for this opportunity. Finally, I get to sit with you. I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
But most importantly, I would like to extend a voice of appreciation, profoundly so, to His Excellency Alan Kwadwo Chemanting for giving the young people an opportunity to also partake in our democratic experiment. So thank you to His Excellency Alan Kwadwo Chemanting. And I know his vision for Ghana. I know that he cares deeply about the future of this nation. Thank you. Thank you to his team.